Well, first off, Liz is the eternal optimist. I mean, she sees the silver lining on the darkest clouds. So, you know, she is just such an outgoing person where the communication with other people just flows naturally.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed. That's so sweet. So, strategies for growing a loyal audience, I would say always show up. Be consistent. You know, I email my people every Sunday night. One time I forgot when I was in San Diego visiting my sister, and I had almost 20 people email me asking me if I was okay. and that's because I just show up for them. I answer every single email I get. I mean, some people I'll be emailing them all week long from one newsletter, and then I'll send the next, and we'll just continue the conversation from there.
Hey, this is Heath Padgett, and welcome to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast. This is episode 164. Wow, I've done a lot of podcast episodes. Thank you guys for listening. Let's go. The RV Entrepreneur is a weekly podcast for people who live in RVs, but not just those people too, also people who want to spend their days doing things they love. Specifically, we talk about running a business, and I interview a lot of people who run location independent businesses or started traveling full-time in RV, and occasionally sometimes guests who are just really smart entrepreneurs and kind of can help push you to think beyond what you're currently doing. And this intro is getting really long for this episode, so let's get into today's show, which is with my good friends Liz and Ed Wilcox. I first met Liz before Ed, which was at our RV Entrepreneur Summit a few years ago. And one of the things I first noticed about Liz is that she's somebody that if you ever attend an event with her, or if you're in any kind of online community with her, you know who she is, and she stands out, and she almost makes you notice her. And that's something that I think is really important if you are a content creator, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur. We all want to be able to get our products out there and get noticed. And so in today's episode, Liz and Ed shared their story of transitioning into life on the road. Ed, how he became a RV tech mechanic. We talk a little bit about what he's been doing as they've been traveling around the country in their RV and different ways they've been able to monetize their lifestyle through Liz's blog and a lot of different other areas. But my favorite part of the episode was just kind of getting insights from Liz on how she approaches situations when she's going to be around a lot of people. And she kind of looks on the horizon and says, I want to meet that person. I want them to remember me. I want them to notice me. And those are the kind of the things that whenever I've left a conversation or hanging out with Liz or something like that, those are things that I always find myself thinking about. So we cover a lot in this episode, but I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. And if you're in our Facebook group, The RV Entrepreneur, you probably already know Liz because she pretty much runs the group and she's in there every single day. And so just a big shout out to her. I'm super grateful to have both her and Ed on this show. Let's get into today's episode with Ed and Liz. Ed and Liz, thanks for being on the podcast, guys.
Hey. Thanks for having us. I am so excited. This is something I have been manifesting for about two and a half years now.
Well, I think at some point, if I didn't already mention it in the intro, you've been helping us manage our Facebook group for a long time. And I think at some point somebody reached out to you like, I loved your episode on the podcast. So it's like, I guess some people already think that you've been on the podcast.
Yeah. Someone said, oh, I found you through the RV Entrepreneur podcast. I was like, dang, I'm so good. I don't even have to be on it. I think I've been mentioned before, but
oh, okay, maybe that's
I haven't been on the podcast, so I was like, yeah, thanks. That was a great episode, wasn't it? No, I corrected them.
I love it. So, I mean, we met a couple years ago at the first RV Entrepreneur Summit, and I think your story is really cool because you went from, for a while, you were creating content, you were blogging, and you guys were basically trying to figure out how can we go from being stationary in our RV. I guess you kind of took baby steps into being able to travel and go different places. And so, and that's where I think a lot of people are. We just got back from the Escapers event and I met a couple who they're based in California and they're stationary in their RV. So it's kind of like the big goal for them was to go hit the road. But first they downsized and they kept their jobs. They're stationary and they're like, I'm trying to figure out how I can go from being stationary in my RV to getting out and travel. So I guess maybe let's start at the beginning for you guys. Like, when did the whole RV equation come into the picture? And what was the vision for that, like how that life was going to look for you guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, you and Alyssa have a lot to do with that. So we were buying a house in Alabama. We lived in New York. And the deal fell through on the house. And we said, what are we going to do? We just spent all this time and effort downsizing our debt. And do we really want to buy a bigger house with for more money or whatever? And Ed joked, everyone in Alabama lives in a camper. And on the outside, I said, I'm not doing that. And on the inside, I said, well, maybe I could do that. And so I rented a camper off Airbnb for the night, just me and Chelsea. And I turned on the TV, I kid you not, after a long drive to the trailer. And there was your face, Heath and Alyssa, and you guys were on that Going RV show or whatever it's called. And I said, oh man, what do they do for a living? I could do that. And I called Ed that night and I said, you know, I think I could live in a camper. And he said, oh, you're joking. And I said, no, this one is like 30 years old. I'm sure the newer ones are even better. And less than 2 weeks later, we bought a fifth wheel and had the dealer deliver it to a campground.
Oh, wow. I love it. So what were you guys doing for work during that time?
I was in the Army as an air traffic controller, and Liz was just a stay-at-home mom at that point.
Gotcha. And so was the idea that you guys were just going to move into an RV and be stationary, and that was it? Like, you just didn't want to pile on debt, right? So that was it was not necessarily as much about, like, going out on the open road. It was more just about along the lines of, we don't want to buy this big house that we don't need.
Right. It was... we had found a great deal on a house, and that fell through, and I hate cleaning. And I hate spending money. So I was like, you know what? That sounds like a really good deal. So we bought it for $15,000 off the side of the road. And we said, you know, that's a price point that we can afford, where if we hate it and we want to buy a house, we can afford both the house payment and the trailer payment. And then Ed was planning on getting out of the Army anyway. So I just started Googling, you know, and then I saw, oh, hey, there's that Heath guy I saw on TV. And I saw your podcast and some other things. And, you know, of course, a million other bloggers, right? And I found your opt-in, the, you know, travel on 2K a month. And I said, hey, this is great. When you get out of the military, we can save up and we can travel for a year or something. And I took notes from that opt-in and everything. And then I found a couple other, you know, like Less Junk, More Journey, things like that. And I said, wait, people move these things like around and live in them. Like, our house has wheels, dude. Do you realize the magnitude of awesomeness this could be? And finally, you know, after a couple of weeks of kind of talking about it, forcing him to, you know, read blogs and watch YouTube, we were like, oh yeah, let's do this.
So Ed, were you bought in on this whole, like, let's travel around, or were you just on the... You didn't want to clean a big house too, but you didn't necessarily want to go travel around full time in an RV.
Well, I said, let's buy an RV, but I didn't think Liz was actually going to go for it. So, I mean, the price point was right, but it did take me a little bit more persuasion once we actually made the decision.
Yeah, I think that's something a lot of people kind of go through when they're making this big life change, because, I mean, you're obviously partners, and where you're going to live and how you're going to live in a space is a big deal. And I think a lot of people, like, we've had people that have sent us emails and been like, hey, I'm trying to convince my spouse, like, how should I do that? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know your life. So, like, what was that process like for you guys when you look back on it? Like, were y'all butting heads and, like, Liz is like spamming you with like text links of like RV bloggers and stuff, Ed, and you're like, okay.
Well, I mean, we were kind of on a short time schedule. Once we got to Alabama, we really needed to find something quick. So, I mean, it was really sink or swim. We had to pretty much go out and find something and move into it, because
I think he means to travel.
Oh, to travel. Yeah. Well, after being in it for a while, you know, first we said, we'll travel for 6 months. Then we said, oh, okay, well, you know, this is all right. We can travel for a year. And then it kind of turned into, well, why don't we just travel indefinitely?
Right. And I think from my perspective, I felt the more that I pushed it, the more he resisted. So I finally just stopped talking about it and just kept plugging away at my blog, you know, momhood, whatever else I had going on. And, you know, we were already living in the RV, so it was already, you know, part of our lives. And I was tapped really hard into the community, you know, your Facebook group, other groups, my email list. And so, of course, it was part of my life. And so it just, you know, the less I pushed, the more receptive he was.
No, that makes sense. And when you came to our summit a couple years ago, I loved your interactions there, because like my first memory of Liz Ed was like her posting all these. First of all, we've never hosted an event before, right? So like it's already all new and everything. And then we had everyone like joins a Facebook group when they come to the summit. And like some of the first posts of people getting there was like this girl who had went around the campground and like took selfies in front of like every single RV and like tagged people in it. Like, hey, good morning. Like, I'm outside your RV. And it was just funny, but you did a really good, like, obviously you made a lot of amazing friendships and relationships there, and you guys have been supporting each other. So I guess during this phase, you came to the first summit, and was the hope that you wanted to find something that you could work on fully remote so you could continue traveling? And did you already know what that thing was?
Yeah. So by the time I got to your summit, I was 3 months into my website. I went to the summit and my goal was basically to find a mentor or to find a community that would believe in what I was doing and believe that it was possible, because I believed it was possible, but everyone in my life was saying, you're crazy, you know, and so I just needed that community, even, you know, just one person to say, yeah, Liz, I really like what you're doing. And so that's so funny that you mention the selfies, because I woke up that morning to go for a run, and I said to myself, like, I need these people to remember me, because I was also leaving a day early. And so I was like, I need someone to just remember me, because there's so many bloggers out there. There's so many people, whatever. I've got to do something remarkable. And that was my idea, to take pictures in front of people's RVs and tag them. And it's so funny, you know, that was over 2 years ago, pretty much. So you remembered. So that my plan is working.
Yeah, master plan. So when you talk to people and told them what you wanted to do, what was it? Like, what was the thing that you were kind of explaining to people around you that they didn't get or didn't support?
Just, you know, living in an RV, they didn't mind that. In my family, you know, I've always been kind of stand out, do my own thing. I married Ed within 9 months of meeting him. So I think after that, you know, nothing was crazier, right? So living in the RV wasn't crazy, but the fact that I wanted to travel and, stop pursuing my goal of getting a PhD, like, that was insane.
And I didn't know that you were, so you were in school getting your PhD?
No, I had just gotten my master's in educational leadership, and then I was going to take a couple years off to hang out with Chelsea and then start applying for PhD programs.
Oh, awesome. I did not know that. This is why
Jack of all trades.
Yeah, this is why podcasting is fun, because we could dig into this kind of stuff. So I think, like, fast forwarding a little bit in y'all's story, you came to the summit, you started your blog. What was it called at the time that you started it? And what was the idea that you wanted to build a business from your blog?
Well, I didn't really have an idea. I just knew that, you know, I saw you and other website owners, you know, making money. So I figured, hey, I could do that too. So it started out as just my name, LizWilcox.com. I remember you and Alyssa had a podcast episode about arguing when you were combining your
blog names.
When you were combining your blog names and how you just went with your names. And so I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I went to the summit and I just was saying, you know, this is my blog. I just want to share my journey. You know, I know that I need something else. And so I was just trying to find out what that something else was. And I talked to David Blackman, who I think has been on the podcast as well. And he said, Liz, you're the something else. Like, you've obviously got something else other people don't have. Just go with that. And so I just, you know, I just kept plugging along and found the people that believed in me. And here I am talking to you now, I guess.
I love it. So you had responded to an email from, I guess, one of the most recent episodes with Mark and Aloetta, just talking about how in the beginning stages, you and Ed kind of made a semi-intentional decision to not work together, which you know, there's some couples who travel, live in RV and everything. They work together and some don't, whatever. Everyone's got their own kind of path. For you guys, like, why did you, was that an intentional conversation when y'all sat down at the beginning of this journey as you're getting started and decided to not work together? Or did it just kind of happen organically?
Well, Liz and I are we're very different people. She's a lot more outgoing than I am, and I'm a little bit more reserved. So she likes to be a little bit more in the spotlight, and I'm kind of just off to the side. So it was more, you know, this is your thing, and I have my thing. And, you know, because I was still in the military at the time, so, you know, I was focusing a little bit more on my career. And with Liz working on the website, you know, it was just her baby.
Yeah, I remember we talked about starting a blog together because that's what I saw everyone doing, right? HeathandAlyssa.com, you know, things like that. And I said, okay, well, this weekend we're going to do it or whatever. And I kept trying to come up with a name, right? Like, what are we going to call ourselves? And he just didn't seem very into it. And so I said, I'm just the type of person that I'm just going to go if I have an idea. If I wait too long, it's not going to happen. So I just bought LizWilcox.com and said, sorry, bro.
Yeah, it wasn't Liz and Ed. I mean, you probably avoided some good fighting in that conversation because Liz and I definitely did that, as we shared in that podcast episode. I kind of take a quick break from your story and kind of sidetrack because, sure. Liz, you're like the most engaged person in the RV Entrepreneur Facebook group. And I asked people to make some, like, just ask some questions. And something that I think, you know, I've kind of looked at is, I don't mean this to come off in like a negative light, but it's like, I feel like a lot of what you've been doing is kind of like throwing wet spaghetti noodles at the wall and seeing what sticks. Like, you host the Full-Time Freedom Week. You've written a ebook, Tales from the Black Tank. You've got, you know, virtual campground. You've got all these different things that you've kind of thrown out there to see what sticks. And Nick True from the Facebook group asked, how do you make a decision about pivoting, when to pivot and why? I.e. Liz changing up her income sources and pursuits multiple times to test different ideas.
I think it's just kind of what I just said. If I have an idea, I just do it. I don't wait around to think, is this a good idea? Like, the people will tell me, right? So yeah, if I have an idea, I just go for it. Like, I also did, and if you look in the archives of your Facebook group, I also hosted a race one time just to see if I could do it. It was a 50K. Went off rather well, I think. But yeah, so I started the website and I knew everyone was saying, oh, the quickest way to monetize your blog is to create your own product. So I said, well, I don't have time to create my own product. So I got all my friends, including Alyssa, to help me write a book. And so I launched that. And then I had an idea to do RV tours online, kind of like what you guys do on the summit. So I created something called RV Renovations Week. And the same thing. I just asked my friends to come on live with me on this Facebook group and do it. And then that went okay. And a couple weeks later, I asked some other friends, hey, I've got this idea. Let's do Full-Time Freedom Week. So we did that. And it just kind of goes from there. It's not everything that I do, I think, is related. So it's not necessarily, I don't feel like I'm pivoting. I just love doing stuff. I just love bringing people value and having, like, I love having fun. I don't do anything that isn't fun. And all those things have been like a freaking blast.
And it seems like with Liz, it's every time she has the next thing coming up that she gets more excited. You know, the fire just lights up. And, you know, if she doesn't have the next thing planned out, you know, she kind of hits a little bit of a lull. And then when she makes the decision to do something else, she starts peaking again. You know, it's every time there's the next goal, the next
This is an entrepreneur podcast, so like, let's talk brass tacks. Of course, it's, you know, also about money, right? So I did Tales from the Black Tank. I wanted to prove to myself that I could make money from this. And now I tell people, like, if I can make money off a book with the word crap in the title, like, whatever your idea is, totally better. It's so true. So then, you know, with Full-Time Freedom Week, it was just an idea to have this bundle of products for the holidays. And I told my friends, I don't have time to create a bundle of products. Let's do it together. And so then it was, you know, to prove to my friends that, hey, you can do this too. Like, if I can do it, oh my gosh, you guys are so much smarter and cooler than me. You can totally do it too. And so every time I've done something, it's just, it's like to prove to myself and to prove to those other people out there that, you know, oh, I want to travel and make money at the same time. Like, you can totally do it. If I can do it, like, who am I? I'm just a lady in an RV that is giving it a go. So to answer Nick's question about pivoting, it's like, I don't even think about it. I just do it. I'm just trying to prove that I can do it, that I can go to the next level and show everyone else you can do it too.
I love that. I mean, there's a lot of people who, like, they, if say we're talking about a blog, and I wouldn't like tune out if you don't want to start a blog, because I think it's super relevant, whether it's a company, it's a YouTube channel, podcast, or anything. Like, the idea of getting traction basically in something is, it's like there's always kind of the trudge through, I forget what I've heard people call it. It's like the trudge of darkness, or I don't know, like the trough of sorrow, I think is what it's called for a lot of like startups and things like that. Like, there's this phase where they're trying to find product market fit and get their thing out there into the world. And that's where a lot of people fall off and quit, because it's really hard, because you're spending like crazy amounts of time working on something and maybe the world's not responding yet, but the effort is there. And so from the start, and I want to give people some extra context too. So your blog, is really centered around RVing and community and RVs in general, right? Like, virtual campground and everything you've created has been very much, super, super, super narrow and niche and focused on the RV community, helping people travel, sharing funny stories that sometimes have crap in the title and stuff. So that's just some extra context for people when we talk about your book. So for you, from the time you started LizWilcox.com and then transferred it over to the new title, how long was it before you made your first income from your blog? Because I think that's something that's interesting to talk about, just for people that are trying to get something going. Do you remember like what that timeline looked like?
Oh, of course I remember, down to the date. Yeah, it was about 7 months. I launched my book July 15th, 2017, about 7 months after I started my website. Before that, I had not made a dime from the website. I had made a little bit of money doing some side projects that I found in your Facebook group. And then I think a couple weeks before that, Alyssa asked me to help out with moderating it. So it was about 7 months. And then it's just, like I said, I've been doing projects ever since. And it's just, you know, grown from there.
Yeah. No, and I like that you've kind of taken that model. I know you do some work with Jeff Goins, and you've done other, like, you've done a lot of other projects. And I think that's something that a lot of people also don't really take into consideration. If they want to get traction and monetize like a content platform, is that they expect that they're going to make their full-time income in a year or even a year and a half or 2 years. And it's like, I don't really know many content creators, if any, that weren't doing some type of client-based facing thing or some type of full-time job, and then kind of treating their blog, like still spending a crazy amount of hours, but almost kind of treating it like a side hustle, because there's, you know, it takes time to get to that point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would almost disagree. I never treated my blog like a side hustle. It was my full-time job. It still is. But I, you know, I did, when Alyssa asked me to moderate the group, you know, I wasn't surprised. I was very active in that group. You know, I'm sure it was like a no-brainer who to ask, right? But with, you mentioned Jeff Goins, I actually, that was very strategic. You know, I knew that, you know, I did need a little extra money at the time when I got hired. And I thought to myself, you know, what can I do and what is going to propel me forward, but also make me money right this instant, right? And, I had met Jeff Goins at a conference about 6 months before, and the month before I went to his workshop and I was hammering him. You know, I paid $2,000 to be there. I'm going to hammer him with all these questions. And I kept saying, you know, and then what do I do? And then what do I do? I know I'm going to grow, so I need to know these answers. And, you know, he was probably sweating a little bit because everyone was looking at us. And I said, okay, Jeff, if all that doesn't work, will you hire me? And he was like, yeah, maybe. I don't know, Liz. And so I knew that I wanted a job with him or someone like him because he's doing what I wanted to be doing, right? One day I hope to be at that level. So why not get him to hire me so I can see everything behind the scenes? And I made it through all the interviews. There were 4 interviews. It was crazy hard to get that job. And he got on the phone with me and he said, Liz, you don't need this job. Why are you applying? And I said, well, I want to know everything that you know. And he laughed and hired me. So I think, of course you have to do client work. You have to put yourself out there, maybe, do some things for free at first, just, to get your name out there or whatever. But I think you should also be very strategic. You shouldn't do anything you don't like to do. That's going to drain your energy. Because if your main goal is to, have this startup or have this blog or whatever it is, then you should try to do the things that are going to propel you forward instead of hold you back from your main goal.
I love that. And something that you've done really well is you have been such a great community member. And I know that, I can look at it specifically in our Facebook group and, at the summit and things like that and kind of notice what that looks like. And I know you've done that in other arenas too, whether that's in Jeff circles or whatever. And I just think that that's something that most people don't really understand. And you probably do that naturally. You may not even know that you do that. And I know you're like, you have the strategy and things like that, but you, like, as Ed said, you're very outgoing and it kind of just works well. But it's like, you started a blog centric on RV World, this thing that you liked and you were fascinated with when things first got going and everything, and you made friends, you pursued like in-person relationships to kind of catalyst yourself in. And then you meet up with them in the mastermind group. You talk to them offline or online in the Facebook group. Like, you're so intentional about building all these relationships. And as a result, it's like people love you. And I think that's something that's a lot of people don't really understand. Like, they'll jump in a Facebook group or something like that and like just start blasting links or trying to promote themselves. And like, you don't really do that. Like, you've done such a good job of like providing value and supporting other people. And as a result, they want to support you too. And that shows. And yeah, just no question there. I just want to say they've done a good job of that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks. I think, I was just talking to someone, or I was just talking to Ed about this. Someone emailed me today asking to pick my brain, and I've literally never spoken to this person. And I'm like, what don't they get? Like, you've got to build a relationship first, and then I'll give you all the information you want. You got to schmooze me, right? But yeah, you definitely, I think the main difference I think about my website and other people's websites, especially beginning websites, and what I tried to do right from the get-go, like, of course, it was LizWilcox.com, but there was nothing about me on there. It was all about RVing. It was all about community. Right from the get-go, I started a series called Inside the RV where I was interviewing other people. If you go through my site, there's, it's got a personal touch, but it's not Liz's blog, right? Like, it's a community. And I think that's just one of the things that, of course, it's my natural strength, right? I love talking to people and getting to know people. But it's also, yeah, slightly intentional in that, if you nurture the community, they're going to nurture you for sure.
Yeah, totally. Ed, going back to your side of the equation. So Liz is like, you probably like kind of kicked yourself a little bit because you like introduced this whole RV thing. You didn't know if she's going to like it. She ends up not only liking it, but she's like all in.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like starting the blog and everything. And so you transition out of service. And at one point do you, like, now you're a mobile RV tech. I know you're still in school, on the GI Bill doing some other things as well. So at what point did you decide to, become a mobile RV tech, which I know is a total non sequitur from blogging, but I just think it's something that, a lot of people are interested in, like they can make money in this RV industry and in this RV community. So.
So it all started with when we bought our RV. It had some issues, and I just kind of worked through between YouTube and, my own mechanical knowledge just to repair those things. And I thought, why would I pay somebody else to fix it when I have the knowledge to at least learn to fix it with, a little bit of help? So I thought to myself, why couldn't I do this for work when I got out of the military? It seems like it's a quite lucrative thing. I mean, the general RV repair shop gets $100 to $150 an hour, for this work. So I started searching, and I found that there's only two schools in the country for RV repair, and they're both in Florida. And, you know, we were pretty close to Florida, so I decided to get in contact with the schools and, you know, get a little bit more information. And, you know, it was almost a no-brainer for me. I could not only repair my own and not have to pay somebody else, but I could fix other people's stuff and they would pay me.
$100 an hour.
$100 an hour. I mean, you make pretty good money fixing RVs, especially if you're doing it on your own.
I love that. So what was the name of the school you went to?
The name of the school is RVSA. It's the Recreational Vehicle Service Academy. It's in Palmetto, Florida.
In case you didn't know what RV stood for.
Right. But, I mean, it's a fantastic school, and it was only 10 weeks long. So I used my GI Bill, and, you know, I went through the class, and I learned a ton. The curriculum is great, and, you know, I met a lot of good people that I can bounce ideas off of. And, you know, it was just a big confidence boost for me.
Oh, I love it. So was the school, is 10 weeks long? Is it five, is like 8 hours a day for 10 weeks, 5 days a week kind of thing? Or what does that look like?
Yep. Just, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know, just like a normal 9-to-5 job. And, you know, just in and out.
Yeah. And do you know the price of it if you like didn't have, you know, the GI Bill helping out, like just if other people are interested?
The school is only $6,000.
Gotcha.
You could make that money back in 600 hours of work.
No, 60.
60 hours 60 of work. Hours I'm sorry. Work. Gotcha. Me and math don't
yeah,
get along.
Yeah, like 1 week, like 1 or 2 weeks.
Right.
If you found the right campground, you can make that money back. It's definitely worth the investment.
It's
we
even worth
paid
the
cash for it.
It's worth the investment, even if you own your own RV and you know there's going to be some sort of maintenance that has to be done, because then you just don't have to pay somebody else. I mean, I'm sure you yourself, you know how quickly you could spend $6,000 on RV maintenance.
Yeah, absolutely. So after you went through the school, what has been some of the process for like going out and getting clients? I guess you know, basically just started have to figure out how to market yourself. But have you went to like service shops? Have you done that on your own? Like, what has that process been like?
So I'm kind of a lazy business owner. When we get to a park, I give them cards at the front desk. That's it.
And we have a sign.
And a sign, you know, we've got like a yard sign. But the only thing I've ever done is when we get to a park, I leave business cards at the front desk and people within the park call me and ask me to come over and fix their stuff.
And that's worked.
And that has supported our family for the past like year and a half.
It's pretty simple business method. But I will add that I think if you're a couple and you're thinking of doing this, or I guess on your own, one of you needs to be outgoing. And so I love going to campgrounds that have activities. I go to every single activity. It doesn't matter if I'm the only one there. If they schedule it, you know, I want to go. So I will say we've gotten a lot of work just for me saying, oh, yeah, my husband's an RV mechanic. Especially I don't work on my site. Well, I try not to work on my site in the RV, you know, because I have a 4-year-old. And so I always go to the community center or something. So I always talk to people. People are always asking me what I'm doing. And I always say, oh, yeah, my husband's an RV mechanic, blah, blah. You know, you got to drop it, right? And people, you know, most times people's eyes will light up. Oh, my gosh, I've got this issue with my door or, you know, my generator, whatever. So I think, you know, whether you're doing it yourself or as a couple, one of you has got to, you know, at least get the ball rolling, I guess.
And have you figured out that you guys need to stay at the park for like a week or two to kind of like meet some people for that to happen, it sounds like?
There are times where as soon as we pull into a park, I'll stick my sign in the ground. Someone will drive by and ask me to fix something on their coach. I mean, it's been anywhere from an hour after we get to a park. I mean, there's been a couple times where we were trying to leave a park. And, you know, I just keep having people walk by and say, hey, can you help me with this when you're done with this one? And I'm like, I got to get out of here. You know, checkout's in 25 minutes and we're trying to leave.
Yeah, but I mean, it is true that sometimes, you know, it can be dry. You pull up into a park, you think it's going to be packed. Nobody's there. But, you know, with my site, you know, some veteran money he gets, you know, it's not as big of a deal. So yeah, you definitely have to plan, you know, you have follow the seasons like everyone else. But yeah, you might wait a couple days sometimes.
Gotcha. So it sounds like part of your marketing strategy is to marry an outgoing woman, which sounds like it's been pretty effective for you. How'd you go about setting your rate? Like, do you have a set rate that you just said, hey, this is what my time's worth right now? And so when somebody asks, can you help them? You just say, hey, you know, just so you know, this is what my rate is. Cause it's a little bit different than like going into a local RV service shop where the rates are on the wall and things like that. Like, it might feel kind of weird. I guess, how did you kind of get through that?
So what my main focus was is being cheaper than everybody else. And the general RV shop is more than $100 an hour. So not only are they saving money by calling me, they're also getting service at their door. They don't have to bring their coach somewhere else. And also, while I was in the school, they kind of gave us a little bit of a guideline of how much you should charge for, you know, per hour, how much you should charge for a service call. And how I kind of I don't always charge for all of the hours, but I will at least, you know, make the effort to, you know, to make the money that I need to. But I do my best to help people out as much as possible. If, you know, if I'm working on somebody's coach and they're visually struggling, then I do not charge them as much. You know, I gotta be able to look at myself in the mirror at the end of the day. You know, I'm not trying to rip people off.
No, totally. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, that's cool. Cause that's an option. I mean, you know, as we were saying earlier, it's kind of like throwing a bunch of things at the wall and seeing what sticks. Like, that could be a very viable revenue source if you're wanting to go out and travel and, you know, attract clients and work with them from different places. So, I want to kind of, I know I'm bouncing around a bit more than I normally do in an interview, but I had some more questions from people from the Facebook group, if that's cool.
Sure.
Love it.
All right. So this one is from Lindsay McKinsey of Follow Your Detour. And
hey, we know her.
Yeah. So she said, what I love about Liz is her ability to never give up, stay consistent, and fight for her dreams no matter what is going on around her. She stays true to herself through it all. But she's clearly built a huge audience of loyal followers. And I always love hearing her strategies for that. And I'm sure others would as well. So not a specific question, but I guess hearing some of the ways that you have went about building an audience of people who are super loyal to you. We've talked about that a little bit, but do you have anything else that you'd want to like add in on top of that you think's been effective strategy for you on, you know, getting people to follow your blog, buy your book, come to your online events?
Well, first off, Liz is the eternal optimist. I mean, she sees the silver lining on the darkest clouds. So, you know, she is just such an outgoing person where the communication with other people just flows naturally.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed. That's so sweet. So strategies for growing a loyal audience, I would say always show up, be consistent. You know, I email my people every Sunday night. One time I forgot when I was in San Diego visiting my sister, and I had almost 20 people email me asking me if I was okay. And that's because I just show up for them. I answer every single email I get. I mean, some people I'll be emailing them all week long from one newsletter, and then I'll send the next and we'll just continue the conversation from there. Be super helpful. If I don't know the answer, I know someone who does, or I think I know someone who does. I always send people to other things. I think I sent someone to your, Teachable account the other day, Heath, for a couple things.
Appreciate it.
I sent something to Brianna's course the other day.
Emails all the time from Liz. You know, someone will say, I know your husband's an RV tech. Can you ask him what he thinks about this? And so I get emails too.
Yeah, I think just the biggest strategy I've had is just show up and be excited about it. I think a lot of bloggers out there or YouTubers or whatever, they want to do it as an income stream, but it's really not their personality to be constantly talking to people. And so I guess that's an advantage that I have naturally, but also just doing different things. Like Nick said, you know, I've done a few different things, and I think that helps me get in front of different audiences. I just did an audience evaluation a couple weeks ago on myself, you know, kind of actually looked at the numbers for the first time. And I was so like excited at what I saw. I saw it was actually almost 50-50 between men and women, and the age groups there wasn't a vast majority like, you know, it was 18 to 24 year olds or 50 to 55 or whatever it is. It was really split. And I find that just being, you know, trying to hear people's stories instead of tell my own is definitely a way of getting people attracted to you, I guess. I just love hearing other people's stories more than I love telling my own. So
I love that. Just sounds like you aren't selfish, and that's a good trait to have to attract other people to you. If you don't mind sharing, like Ed was talking about finding the silver lining, and I just seen something that you had posted online and I don't know if it was a hypothetical thing, so if it was okay like that, or you don't want to talk about it, whatever, but I thought I saw something that you had posted that just said like last year was one of the hardest years and you're just going to move on and everything's going to be good. Like, you know, just because sometimes if there's enough distance in between whatever happened, you know, you can kind of look at that and people can learn from that process. Like, is that something that you would want to share if it relates to business or if not?
Sure. Just tell. It's perfectly awesome to share. Yeah. So Ed and I started traveling about 14 months ago, and not going to lie, it was hell on wheels. Literally. It was so hard. My business was also growing. Ed's business was starting out. He was learning how to be an entrepreneur coming from a military background. We have a child that is growing rapidly. You know, we had a terrible time traveling. Yeah. I mean, we enjoyed, you know, seeing things, seeing people, finding the community. You know, day to day, though, it was very hard.
And the actual physical travel. I mean, there was definite difference in personality from, you know, from myself and from Liz and from Chelsea.
Yeah.
On travel days, you know, we would dread travel days because they were just so stressful for everybody. And, you know, it wasn't that silver lining that everybody sees. It wasn't, you know, all cupcakes and rainbows dancing with toothbrushes.
Yeah, it wasn't Instagram worthy. Yeah, every day, you know, I'm not saying I wasn't happy. I was happy. I was, you know, living this dream that I had, you know, worked so hard for. I was running a business that I absolutely loved. I was working, you know, for Jeff, who I consider, you know, like a really good mentor and friend. I have a kid that is freaking awesome. I have friends that are awesome. I have business partners that, you know, listen to my ideas and, you know, want to grow with me. I have a husband that loves me and, you know, gave up his military career. And so I think that's what Ed means by the silver lining is, even though things are going awry, and this might actually drive him crazy. Like, I'm still smiling. I'm still laughing. He's shaking his head right now, guys.
Scowling.
It's just, I believe in myself and my family and what we're doing so much. Why can't I be happy? I've had terrible things happen in my life. Like, this is nothing. this might get a little personal, but I grew up really humble beginnings. My mom still lives in extreme poverty, like no joke. She lives on 8 Mile in Detroit. She struggles every day with her health and mental health. My brother was killed by a drunk driver when he was 25. Like, I'm 30. I have 5 years on him. How can I not be happy? I'm doing what I want. I don't do anything I don't want to do. I'm running my own business. I'm talking to Heath Padgett right now via Skype.
Living in Tampa.
I was just going to say that. I'm at the beach. I just went to the Tampa RV show with my friend Camille, and I got recognized 3 times just walking around. Like that was crazy. How, even though, you know, things aren't perfect, we're stationary for a while, my RV's carpet is disgusting, my dishes aren't done, my kid doesn't listen to me, how can I not be happy?
I appreciate that sentiment, and I thank you for, you know, diving and sharing all of that. I mean, it is interesting because it's like, it's all about seasons of life, and I feel like I've been saying that like every day, like a freaking broken record, but it's like, you know, I felt some of these things. And again, I don't know the specifics of what was going on, but it's like this year when we were in Canada, and we found out Alyssa was pregnant and she's throwing up every few minutes or hours or whatever. And I can't cook anything and the RV's moving. And we're at a place in our business where I'm focusing all of my time and effort on building campground booking. We're getting customers. Right. And it's been my dream to build this thing. And then I'm picking up and moving today and I'm feeling guilty because I'm not out doing this thing or whatever. And, like you said, at the end of the day, we are extremely fortunate to have these types of problems. But I think it is also just a very realistic thing that you have to put in a lot of hours to get anything moving. in whatever whatever it is you're trying to get going, and you've got two moving, like, early stage, you know, I guess you could call them infant to toddler businesses. Same for me.
Right.
And, you know, you're, those take love and attention, and you have an actual 4-year-old too on top of that. And so it's like, they're, you know, and then to add the other moving part of picking up and moving all the time is a lot, you know? And so I think, you know, that totally makes sense. I think it would be crazy if that wasn't challenging. So what do you guys take away from that? Like, do you slow down for a while and kind of focus on these other things that are important to you about, you know, creating content and community? Like, what does that look like? Have you guys had those conversations and kind of figured some of that out, or still working on it?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, I'm in another school right now, so we will be stationary for the next, I don't know, 14 months. So we're going to be, you know, here in Tampa, just, you know,
weekend warrior
living
style.
That stationary life again.
Yeah, we're still in our RV. We don't have any plans for that. We have plans to visit state parks around here and stuff like that. And I think what I realized in the last year was that I'm building this business, and being an entrepreneur is a real dream come true for me. And I can travel. I guess this is what I said during the Full-Time Freedom Week event. You know, we call it full-time freedom not because you have to be a full-time RVer. It's because you crave that full-time freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want. So for you, it might mean, you know, traveling all the time, 365. For others, that might mean 6 months in Florida, 6 months at home in Maine. For us, it might mean
not having to go to work.
Yeah, it might mean, you know, Ed going to school and enjoying that time learning, because he really likes learning about working with his hands, and me building my business, and we travel on the weekends. And I think that's the beauty of what you're doing with this podcast and what other people are doing. It's that full-time freedom. It's not necessarily like full-time RVing, I'm constantly moving to different campgrounds. That's not what it's about. And that's what I learned last year. It's about doing what you want when you want. And that's my dream.
I love it. Well, I think that is an awesome place to conclude this episode. I usually ask what success looks like for you, but I think you kind of just nailed it on the head. So I know you guys have a lot of different projects and places where people can connect with you, but also want to give a special shout out to your new YouTube channel that you're working on. Where can people find that?
Thanks. So it's just on YouTube, the Virtual Campground. There's actually two of them. The one with more subscribers, subscribe to that one. I could not figure out how to log into my old YouTube, but yeah, I just started a show. It's like, I call it like late night RV. It's called TVC Live, the Virtual Campground TVC. My subscribers actually named it, and they've come up with most of the segments for the show. And it's like late night. We play games. I played actors in movies last night with Luann Street. I played kind of like a Would You Rather game with Pete and Jordan. They've been on the podcast too. That'll be premiering next week. So it's more than just, you know, talking head show. It's just a really fun late night show for RVers, people that love RVing.
I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for coming onto the podcast, and appreciate you guys sharing y'all's journey.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Heath.
Thanks for having us.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into that episode with Ed and Liz. If you want to check out the show notes for this episode, head on over to heathandalyssa.com and click on podcast. I need to find something else other than go leave a review here at the end of the show. So I'm going to come up with something to say right here that's new and creative. I got nothing. It's 10 o'clock. I've been up for like 36 hours working on campground booking stuff. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you guys a quick little update on how campground booking is going. We spent the last few months traveling across Canada before we found out Alyssa was pregnant. We've onboarded a lot of parks who are now using our property management system. So growing a SaaS business, if you guys are interested in kind of what the past couple of years have looked like now that we're actually making money, and if you want me to do another episode on campground booking, just what it's been like trying to get a software business off the ground, then shoot me a tweet or Instagram message or your preferred method of communication, just not through Facebook Messenger, because just I won't read those. So thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. Seriously, you guys are amazing. I love all of you. Hope you have an amazing, amazing day or night, or twilight or whatever time it is, wherever you are. I'm going to go. It's been up for a long time. See you guys next time on the RV Entrepreneur Podcast.